Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's fair to say there were not a lot of love getting thrown around at some Cowboys men on Saturday night. Then what a horrible performance from them. But round one, done and dusted. JT here for the Sunday. It's not a solo pod this time around this year because I've got my good mate and, co-leader, co-conspirator, whatever you call him from the Sporting Woods podcast, Timmy. Timmy the Tiger on the line. How are you, champion?
Well, you went the long intro there, mate. I thought we got our lines crossed. But look. I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm never going to say no to life at the outpost, but I'm doing all right. Tough loss for the Tigers against the Raiders, but Supercoach-wise, I'm pretty happy with the squad that I've got, and I think you would be too.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too many headaches. Obviously, there's some massive scores getting thrown around. Some of the higher owned players in the comps are getting all the rage, all the points. So plenty to get through this Sunday night. You and I here. What did you do though? First, obviously, footy's back. Life is back to normal again. How was your first week of footy spent?
Well, I did go to the Broncos game on Friday night. It was a good crowd. Just a tick under 30,000. It was just good to be out. Caxton was buzzing, so
Rumbos? That was good.
No, just mangoes. Responsible.
Ooh, steady.
Yeah, steady. But yeah, and then just Saturday, just tuned in for a couple of the games, and Sunday capped it off with a Tigers defeat.
What better way to round out the week?
How about you, mate? How was the listener party?
Oh, mate, I had basically watched the first five or six games of the round at the pubs with the Pig and Whistle on Thursday and Friday nights, watching all the games there. And Saturday night, the boys from the SC Talk Mega Guide all got together, including Wennon as well at the Norman Hotel, so some steaks were shared. I actually didn't pay for Lakey, so I apparently owe him one from last year, and then classic me, I've just gone and paid for myself and left him high and dry, so I still owe that bloke a stake there, but they got to witness me basically just, sitting in despair watching the Cowboys get rolled 24-0. And you know what the worst part was? We were at the restaurant area of the Norman to watch that game. So all these families are around just trying to have a nice, relaxing meal. And then you've got the four of us just there like yelling at the TV, carrying on. Absolute idiots. Supercoach is back.
How good. But,
apologies to little Timmy and little Jenny, who learned some new interesting words courtesy of a disgruntled Cowboys fan. But anyway, as I said, not a lot of love given out to some Cowboys men, but plenty to go around for the Supercoach world anyway. So firstly, for you and I, we'll chat about where we landed, where some of the scores look like being across some of our head-to-head leagues. So obviously plenty of big, big scores getting posted. We'll quickly talk what you and I are going to change post round one. So whether we're going to hit that delete team button or just make a few little short and sweet changes there. Maybe what we got right, you know, the power of positivity. We can be a bit negative. Both of our teams have lost here, but we'll talk about what we did get right. And then obviously the rocker, flopper, and shocker of the week coming back with some new
fan
music,
favorite,
which I'll introduce. The fan favorite. Oh, absolutely. Everyone loves it. Injury and suspension news a fair bit coming out of today. NRL Physio has been tweeting away. He's been such a fantastic resource for all super coaches there. And then, of course, we'll finish with the game by games, going through the rockers, floppers, and other interesting points coming out of those all those eight games for the round. So firstly, Timmy, how did you fare Supercoach-wise? What did you finish on? As of now, tonight, Sunday night, it's six of eight games have been updated. So just a couple to come through tomorrow. But where are you sitting?
I'm sitting at 1181. Had a disappointing Sunday afternoon game. I was sitting pretty in a lot of our leagues, the Sporting Woods Cup League, and the Imagine Brewing Cup League, but just faltered once everyone started looping Teddy. I think that was where I went poorly.
You still captain Teddy though, so 1181 is probably below par. Having a look there, but yeah, what else went wrong? So you said Sunday afternoon you had a stack of players. I assume some Tigers and some Raiders.
Yeah, Papali'i cost me big time that sin bin at the end.
Oof.
And I did go to the pod Luciano Leilua. Just reading the insights into Tigers forums and things like that, he looked primed and ready for a big year. And while I thought he played well, just didn't necessarily translate into super coach points. But yeah, they're probably where I went wrong. And then just the standard Fusatua, Staines trap, and that's going to be a big one. And I'm sure Staines is a pain for everyone at the moment. But yeah, overall, I'm actually okay. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean that sort of stuff, like Papali getting sinned in for you right at the death of the game was an absolute, that would have been a killer. That's a, you know what, 12, 15 point turnaround there. Staines, I think you mentioned, you know, he's 53-odd% owned. So, you know, at least half the competition would have played him as well. He's playing the Cowboys. Anyone would imagine the sixth try hero from last year would get a meat pie, but he was still okay out there. He still got involved relatively, but just got bundled over the sideline. So maybe I'll need to work on some combinations there. But yeah, I think the biggest thing for me this week, I hit a 1267 with those couple of games to update, which is okay. Having a look around the head-to-head leagues, it looks to be around about 10th or 11th across quite a lot of them that I'm in. So I think if you went over 1300 this week, I think you've done pretty well. I was actually just sent a screenshot before from Sam Rolfe, the winner from a couple of years back, who said he's never playing with his kids because he has a mate who's been playing Supercoach with him for years and years, ever since he started. And he's in a league with him and his young son. Now, the Ralphie and his mate have gone steadily, around 1250 or so. But the son, who's in his first year of Supercoach, I believe, has hit 1442.
Wow.
So, yeah, wow. That just goes to show that if you overthink it sometimes, that could be the worst thing you can do, because if you're coming in fresh, brand new ideas, brand new flavor in your team, well done, Alex, 1442 and still to update. So, geez, that will set you apart from the pack early on. But it is early days, Timmy. What are you doing next week? So obviously team list Tuesday will come about. Hopefully no major surprises there. But once lockout opens on Monday, what are you doing?
Well, my dilemma is I went with the David Warner of the NRL, Mitch Moses, over Nathan Cleary.
And flat track bully?
The flat track bully, Mitch Moses. Yep. And while he did very well for the 5 minutes where they got all the ball and all the calls, I think what's been very clear to me is that I really need to fast track getting Cleary in. I was kind of targeting him in the first 4 to 6 rounds, but I think that might be fast tracked because while Paris draw, I'm just having a look at Paris draw. They go Storm, Sharks, Tigers, Dragons, Raiders. I was pretty worried with their performance, and I don't know about Parramatta this year after that showing on Friday night. So might try and target some cheap center wingers to get the money quicker if I can. But I think fast track Cleary is the big play for me.
That's it. I think he had a massive upgrade as well just before we went to air as well. Went from 75 to 100 plus. So he was just, yeah, of course. That's unfortunately for you, Timmy, not only Cleary is a stinger, as our mate Rick would say, but yeah, he's quite heavily owned as well. So I think a lot of people have just splashed the cash, and you see exactly what you're going to get from him. And despite he was, you know, not that, I've seen much more heavily involved games from Cleary. So it's a scary proposition for non-owners. So, yeah, be doing whatever you can to bring him in. You did mention the cheapy center wings. Mate, that's my big problem. So I've gone nothing but I think all sub 300K center wings, which kind of had to squeeze some of the Teddies and Clearies and that in my side. Didn't all go to plan. Jason Saab, 11 points. Charlie Staines, you mentioned, about 18 or so. I had Fusatua. I forgot I even played him, 20 points from the Fus. Nothing ever changes with him. Tezzy New, 36. That was okay. Jimmy Roberts, 33. There's just a lot of mediocre scores around the traps there. And saw the likes of Rapana today, even Fergo on the weekend as well. Some of these guys just the higher price center wings look like the guy you might need to bring into your side soon enough, because you can't carry that sort of nonsense scores for that long. Simonson as well, 24, just ordinary across the park. So yeah, my mate Simo copped a thumb to the eye in the game early on, thought he was gone with an HIA, but did fortunately come back on. But yeah, outside of that, it's just nothing going in the center wing for those cheap guys there. So hopefully with a bit of time, some of them will fall over the line, but geez, you might need to fast track a Nofo or someone into your side soon enough. What did you get right, Timmy?
Well, I hate to say this and I hate to bring it up, but this is the first time I've not gone without Taumalolo. And again, I wanted to pay attention because I'm a big fan of Todd Payton, and I think eventually he'll do great work up there. And I think we can all appreciate what he's trying to do. It just missed the mark on Saturday night, but and while the trend would be to play him more in the coming weeks as like an overcorrection, I think he's playing the long game, and not having Taumalolo in my team for the first time in what must be 5 years looks like the right call.
It's a very strange scenario that we find ourselves in with him, because we knew the minutes were going to drop down. Todd Payton made no mystery about that in the offseason. But to have him then come out publicly and challenge him and call him out for some defensive efforts just shows what's going on up north. I mean, in one way, it looks like it's a good sign that Lolo's getting singled out. He's a million-dollar player. Shows everyone else in the side that, no one gets played favorites with. You're all on the same level pegging, I guess. So if you stuff up, you stuff up. So in that regard, it's good. But for super coach for Lolo, I think this is just basically puts a line through his name for the foreseeable future. So good effort. It was very difficult for me as well not to go with Lolo, given he's a Cowboys man. I love giving my love to him, but unfortunately he looks like someone we might have to pick up in a few weeks time, a few months time even. Personally, going enough over a guy that was going to play in a starting side was what ended up allowing me to loop Teddy. So the 1267 I got was courtesy of a loop, as you mentioned. Early doors, but didn't think I'd be using it in round one, but geez, Teddy, 160, you're not going to ever not loop that. So thankfully going a Caleb Milne for the Sharks, who's nowhere to be seen near the starting side, allowed me to use the VC loophole. So at least one thing went right for me there. But anyway, thankfully I got the C on either one of Cleary or Teddy. You're doing pretty well there. All right, mate, back to the fan favorite segment, the Rocker Flopper and Shocker of the Week. And I did mention I've got some new gear, some new tunes. Let's crack it out for this week's round one Rocker of the Week. Insert generic triple M rock sound.
I was just about to say. It sounds like a radio station that rocks the footy.
Oh, it does. An unnamed radio station, Triple N or something. Rocker of the Week. Who do you reckon it is? One guess.
James Tedesco?
God, Michael Morgan, please.
Sorry.
Oh, man, I don't think we need to spend any more time on James Tedesco. I think we all spoke about it. If you were trying to go the other way, and I know the our Twitter page, SC Talk Twitter page, did cop some flack on Saturday night when I think Wenin put up imagine not owning Teddy. And then a few people tried to come out and defend the call and say they went this guy who got this score, and for value for money, Latrell actually did better, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, you've got Teddy in. Yeah, it's points over this whole value for money business. Unless you spent it more wisely elsewhere, you lost out in that regard, not owning Teddy. So find a way before he goes to the million plus. Flopper of the Week.
I forgot that you were doing gear, mate. My apologies. I forgot about the new soundboard. Can we go again for the listeners?
I don't think they need to hear that sound again. But there you go. What's the point in a run sheet?
Oh, well, mate, well, you got to put insert terrible music here.
Leave a delay. There's like a 2 second delay. Yeah. Nonetheless, our fail of the week, not aside from that there, but Jason Taumalolo, we mentioned 36 points in the end, just 7 runs all game and 1 tackle bust. This is his lowest score since 2015 in a non-injury affected game. So it just goes to show how bad it was for him, this whole bench rotation. And well, I mean, we didn't have a lot of ball in hand when he was out there either, but just not good viewing for any Cowboys or Lolo fans and potentially owners out there. So fail of the week, I never thought I'd see the day. It's usually the Anthony Milford Award for trying very, very hard. But yeah, unfortunately, Taumalolo, you're the fail of the week. And finally, the shocker of the week. And just because I didn't actually pick up any music, I'll just play this sweet sound. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why that's the shocker of the week sound, but nonetheless.
Woodstock, mate.
There you go. Daniel Saifidi, 128 points. So the shocker of the week is the guy that no one really expected to go this large, came out of nowhere. 3% owned. So not a lot of love for Saifidi, who had a pretty good year Supercoach-wise and also saw himself break into the Origin arena last year as well. Around 50 points in base as well, which is very handy from him. So there's a couple of tries there were absolute gold for him. 3% owned. So, yeah, there's a lot of other guys getting some more ownership in that front row rotation there. So people might be looking at Saifidi in a couple of weeks' time for a quick cash upgrade. Quick around the grounds with some injury and suspension news, mate. There's a couple of bigger ones here. So Jake Friend copped a very nasty HIA. I think, is it his third in, 6 months?
Oh, yes, but overall it's got to be approaching 10. Surely.
Yeah, he's not had a good run with that, and particularly being in the side with Boyd Cordner as well. We know how mindful the Chooks can be of their players and their well-being. So, you know, with that history in there, it could be a more extensive stint on the sideline for Jake Friend than we might initially think here. Just a nasty knock for him. And also Adam Kieran. So he picked up a wrist injury, 2 to 4 weeks for him. So interestingly enough, on the Sunday New South Wales Cup game, they pulled Freddie Lussick out, the sort of backup deputy dummy half there. Looks likely to act as cover for him next week, so we'll get a starting spot there. Sam Verrills, they are trying to brace him back from that ACL injury last season, but geez, you wouldn't want to push that too much there. Some of the other games, Ewan Aitken for the Warriors, new signing, limped off with an ankle injury, looking at possibly a week there. Matty Lodge, interesting enough for super coaches because he was gone very early in the game here. Hamstring, but a grade one hamstring tear, 2 to 4 weeks. Kind of stings. Did you own him?
Yes, of course I did.
Bugger. Yeah, that's not ideal for owners there because this was the time he was going to reap the rewards of Payne Haas not being there. So without without that extended run in the starting spot, Lodge could find himself back on the bench and basically out of commission as a super coach option from in a few weeks' time. So he might be on the chopping block earlier than many thought. Asiata and Coates, they did not look in a good way on the game here, but fortunately only got a 0 to 1 week neck burner diagnosis here. So did you see that try? You were at the game.
It was down the other end of the field, but the replays looked like he literally, his head was about to separate from his body.
Awful.
It was an awful, but it was just unlucky. That's rugby league. But yeah, It wasn't pretty to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, before that, he was in such good form as well. Milf even laced on a few balls and kicks for him as well to score, and those acrobatic dives. They were going to bound to do this at one point there. So horrible landing for Coates, but he shall be back. For the Knights, Kurt Mann and Bradman Best picked up some injuries. Kurt Mann, the more serious of the two, with a knee injury, looking at 3 to 6 weeks on the sideline there. Pushing Connor Watson, he was moved to the bench before the game and had to come in to relieve Mann from his duties there. So it looks to be where Watson will play over the next month or so while Kurt Mann is gone. And Bradman Best, hopefully just 1 to 2 weeks for him on the sideline there. They're already down on troops, so they wouldn't want Best to be out for too long. For the Rabbitohs, Tom Burgess had a similar injury to Asiata there, that shoulder neck burner. All reports are he's probably good to go from next week, so nothing too serious for him. Cody Ramsey today picked up an ankle injury in the game against the Sharks, sort of limped off late in the piece, but might be a little better than most thought at the time, so he could be back next week as well. And finally, for suspension news, Angus Crichton. I didn't see the tackle in question here, but he's facing up to 2 weeks if he's found guilty of this this crusher tackle here, at 1 week with an early guilty plea. So swings and roundabouts for Supercoach. He hits about 100 points and then goes straight out the door the next week. Are you a you an owner?
No, I'm not. But it didn't look great. So I think he should take the early plea and it would just be the 1 week. So hopefully not too much damage for the owners out there.
Well, that's it. We can take 1 week on the sideline from Big Gussie. We'll just have to make sure there's a second row replacement who can bang out 100 points in his absence. I'm sure I'll find one. Mate, the game by game. So let's start going through them. As we said, the Rockers, Floppers and other interesting points from the round here. So Thursday night, Storm 26 defeating the Rabbitohs 18. Really, this game had a couple of stories to it. So the battle of the fullbacks. Ryan Pappenhausen, 124 points, and Latrell, 117, duking it out here. So fair few, obviously, going with Pappy as the goal-kicking option. He nailed a few of those. But Latrell had his interest as well before this game. So both of them basically did as well as each other there. Pappy, a couple of tries, and Latrell setting one up, scoring one of his own. You've got to be happy either side of that. But did Latrell look to you like a player who maybe has fired up a little in the off-season, maybe getting a little bit more involved than we're used to? And does it make him an option down the track?
I think we're seeing the game change so much just in the first round. So I don't want to go too philosophical into rugby league, but Latrell Mitchell looks like a player that needs to get the ball as often as possible. So, I mean, they're loaded. They've got Cody Walker and Reynolds. Also, South's best player on Thursday night, Benji Marshall. I think he's in for a great season. It's kind of a shame they played Melbourne to start off with. So, and that they got ambushed, let's be fair, but I really like Latrell. I think he could be a very good option in Supercoach this year just because of the way the game's going to be played.
No, it's an interesting point there. What did you make of Benji Marshall coming on for that stint? I thought he was honestly just there to fill in for injury, but he came on and played sort of as that third ball maker, like playmaker, I should say. Like he was pretty handy.
Oh, mate, don't need to tell me. but I honestly think the way the game is going to be played, you know, is going to be vastly different. Bringing in that, you know, the original Connor Watson style 13, guys like Victor Radley are going to be very good. Two hookers, I think, is the way to go as well. Slash that 14 player on your bench has got to be adaptable for multiple roles. Just because, you know, you get these set restarts and you go straight through the middle, it's really going to help those players that can be, you know, play off the cuff and you know, inject themselves in. So I think that's where it's going to go. Those skill players are going to be at a premium, but they also need to play down the middle. So, yeah, I like having that three on. Obviously, the downside is the defense, but South did quite well when Benji came on, like, to be fair, after the ambush. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how each team plays it.
Yeah, that's it. There's a lot of chefs in the kitchen for both of these sides there. So Munster, obviously, for the Storm there, was targeted as the linchpin of the side, the attacking structure this year as well. So interested to see how he goes. He got 71 points here, including an early try. So it's a bit sort of more of the same for Munster. He's one of those guys that can go large in short spurts there. He'll score a try and then sort of regress out of the game for a while and then chime in at the death with a line break assist or something like that, which is kind of what happened here. So he actually got outpointed in the end by Cody Walker, who nabbed 84. So I went Walker over Munster. Not too unhappy with that. I was a little concerned about how Latrell's impact would affect Cody Walker, given Walker had a pretty much half the season last year without him in that side. So thankfully they all gelled together despite the Rabbitohs getting done here. So that was good signs. Jai Arrow was a big surprise for me in his first stint for the Bunnies. Got 70 points in around 45 minutes. So 56 in base, playing through the middle there. He got 5 busts and an offload. He definitely outshone Murray for me, 53 in 74 minutes. So Jai Arrow, obviously everyone's looked away with that bench spot, but geez, if he can force his way into the starting side here, you've got to pick him up, right?
Absolutely. And Wayne Bennett coach sides don't necessarily have high offload rates. So again, I feel like this is part of the adaptation of the new rules where offloads and second phase are going to be vital for a team to win in the NRL. So yeah, I mean, it's Arrow. Like, he's been there before. Hopefully, you know, given a license to do the same for the rest of the year, he's probably someone we'll all need to be looking into.
A couple of other guys here who had some super coach interest as well for this one as we round out that game. So Christian Welsh, 52 in 50 minutes. He smacked down James Hooper in the week, which is probably his most impactful super coach stat done there. Well done, Christian. Brandon Smith, 45 in about 70 odd minutes. Both of those guys were quite quiet. Thought some extra points there given the loss of Harry Grant early doors, but didn't quite translate there. Although Christian Welsh dropped a ball off, a short ball off Brandon Smith over the line late in the game, which would have been massive for owners of those guys. And the really disappointing ones out of here for me, Damien Cook, 36 points, and Josh Mansell, 15. So Mansell I targeted. He was an A in the mega guide. I was all over him to start this one. I thought he'd come out the door flying, but couldn't get much going at all. And Damien Cook, geez, he's just regressed a little in this game, I feel. Like, he's you look at him and he does the darting runs and he's always putting pressure on, but it just is not translating anymore to supercoach points when he's not taking the hit-ups himself. So worrying signs if you splashed a lot of cash in that hooking spot there. Second game of the round, Knights and the Dogs. So the Knights getting off to a bit of a quiet start here before completely overpowering the Dogs here. Big scores for some of their guys, though. Daniel Saifidi, he was the shocker of the week, 128 points, a couple of tries there in 60 minutes. But a couple of guys here, Mitch Barnett, he was huge, 105 points, a try, 6 goals and 3 offloads, played out the full 80 on the edge as well. So he outpointed the likes of Maddo and even Angus Crichton this week, which is huge from him. Jaden Brayley, 86 points in 75 minutes. Sorry, 80 minutes. He played the full game. 1 try assist in that time as well, that one of those crash balls to Saifidi. And David Clemmer, 82 points, basically all in base and a couple of offloads in around 74 minutes. So a lot of those guys, now, I haven't looked much at the Knights at all, but are you starting to rethink that maybe even Mitch Barnett, while he's goal-kicking with Ponga out, that could be huge?
You're not wrong there, but I thought I've generally bought in to David Clemmer. I've been high on Clemmer stocks, but this year I just thought this might be the year, but proved a lot of people wrong. I'd love to know what his ownership rate is. I don't have it off the top there. Sorry, Juzzy, to put you under the pump. But it's a great performance and someone, you know, Barnett as well, kicking goals, literally and figuratively. I suppose it just depends on how high you're on the Knights as well. It was the Bulldogs, though, so does it get the asterisks?
Well, Lakey reckons they've got a pretty good run coming up, despite all the, the loss of Ponga and the Pierce scenario off field and all that sort of gear. They've still got a decent run coming up as well. So if you back them in.
Yeah, sorry, Juzzy. I got their next 5 games. It's Warriors, Tigers, Dragons, Gold Coast, Sharks.
Yeah.
So none of those teams should really scare the Knights.
No. I mean, for a guy like Clemmer, I don't think it goes up or down depending on the team he plays. I think he generally keeps a pretty consistent base there. But a guy like Mitch Barnett, he could really benefit off some weak defensive edges. So a couple of those sides in there, maybe not so much the Warriors, but a couple of those sides in there could give up some handy points on the edge there. So if he's kicking a few goals, as he did here, be plenty of new owners over the next couple of weeks. You did mention the Bulldogs as an asterisk, though. I was disappointed in them. I'd say the fans were more so, obviously, but they did get off to a decent start. They were winning this game at one point before completely falling away. But they had a few initially at the preseason, we basically said the Dogs are completely irrelevant for Supercoach. But then round one hit, and there were a bunch of guys in that side who we thought, oh, maybe I'll sneak them in some mid-range forwards here, especially. Let's go through them. Josh Jackson, 57 points in 74 minutes. He's found a new role in the middle of the park there. Been basically irrelevant for a couple of years, Supercoach-wise, but some newfound love for him there. Didn't quite translate into huge points, but that's probably a pass mark. But a couple of guys here, Corey Waddell, 44 points in 53 minutes. Ogden, 39 in 51. And Hetherington, 35 in 57, all under-delivered. If you're like me, I don't know if you tried to squeeze any of these guys in. Thankfully, I went elsewhere. But did they feature in your lineup? And are you ever going to trust a Dog again?
I had Jackson up until Wednesday, and then I changed it out and pulled the trigger on Luciano. So I was thinking about it, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jackson's always going to get your base, but is he priced well enough? I think he was around that 490, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was
again,
little more.
To put you under the pump, mate.
I think it was around 470. So much under the pumping, mate, please.
Sorry.
This is a professional podcast and you will come prepared. No, but that's, he's definitely his lowest price in a few years there. And Jackson as well. We know he's a pretty handy enough player. He's not going to do anything special there. But anyway, tackling up around the ruck area, he's not going to miss them. So you'd imagine the base would continue to be floating at that level there. So he'll be an option going forward if he can build on that initial score there. A guy I'm keeping my eye on, though, is RFM for Tyler Mariner. So they were easing him back in to the fold here. He was off the bench. That's probably why Waddell got a start there. He got 22 points in 35 minutes, so they are just easing him back in. Hopefully a few more stints on the bench should be good for his price in a few weeks' time, because when he comes on, he tends to find the line just an unreal amount of times. So RFM, keep him in your calculations going forward. All right, Tim, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back to do the remaining six games of round one.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alrighty, back here to do the last six games. And a game that you were at here, mate, the Broncos 16 going down to the Eels 24. So it was a tale of two halves for these guys. But who impressed you for the Eels?
No one. I think that's the problem, isn't it? Like, we were expecting Maddo to go well. What did Gutho get, 75?
Yep.
But, like, he's so far down the pecking order at fullback because he's not really an option for most people. Yeah, I don't know. I do have Mitch Moses in my team, and again, he had a terrific 5 minutes when everything was going for him. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Maddo is still a set and forget. I think he can keep him in, but I don't really have.
Oh, mate, 67 points, and he looked, as you said, quiet. Did not get heavily involved. Threw three offloads though.
Yeah, I suppose the other guy was Reed Marnie, didn't he? I don't know his full score, but what was it?
It was 134 he updated to. 134.
What's his ownership? That's
good. Oh, mate, it would be Yeah, it would be around that mark there. But I've had a quick look because I picked him up in a draft league I'm in, so I thought he's playing 80 minutes, why not? 134, though, huge. I had a quick look at his stats here, just saying at 478K playing 80 minutes, should he be more of an option just to even ignoring this 130? But the last two seasons here, he's only averaged 52. So despite playing huge minutes, around 72 across those two seasons, he's still just not scoring consistently or consistently large. So just under a quarter of his games over the last 2 years have been over 60+. So potentially this could be massive trap potential here, but obviously his cash is going to go up in a few weeks' time with this 130 floating in the average. But I think just be a bit wary about a guy like Reed Marnie. Had a meat pie here and set one or two up, but could crash back to earth down at the line there. Couple of other guys that disappointed for Para as well. Micah Sivo, 33, and Wonga Blake, 38. These guys are pretty handy on their day, but geez, that day is a long time ago. Wonga Blake's never really been a consistent option here, but Micah Sivo, I don't know what's going on there. Just can't get into the games anymore and isn't scoring. Tezzy New for the Broncos on the other side, 36. Basically everyone had him in their side, so that's fine. Got smashed all night, though. 15 runs he had below 8 meters. So that's, you know, just 15 points as opposed to what could have been 30. So that hopefully he's going to build on that going forward. Jordan Rickey, he was quiet, 40 points. It wasn't paying too much attention. Did you notice him much out there?
In terms of rugby league, I thought he had a really great game. Like, it was his first real test, you know, to be honest, but I thought he did okay. I just don't know how it's going to translate over into Supercoach points. I mean, he, again, one of the more popular owners, and I think Kevy's going to play him. I don't think there'll be too much mucking around with him. I think they've found something with him. They're going to give him a chance. But Tessie New, it is noticeably smaller than everyone else out there, and they really targeted him in defense and in attack. They dominated when he had the ball as well.
Yeah, he has been growing in the offseason. Everyone's talked about that bulking up, but he's obviously still got a way to go to develop that body into a full sort of center mold. A bit like Hamiza at Hammer Time for the Cowboys. We've sort of pigeonholed these guys into center spots, so the bodies still need a little bit of filling out to go. So hopefully for New, he can warm into that, because 36 isn't much to sneeze at there. That's relatively handy for a cheap center. A couple of other guys before we move on to the next one. Isaiah Papali'i, he probably was one of the Para's best players when he was out there. On the trade from the Warriors last season, he started off the bench here, and I reckon outshone the likes of Maddo and even Nathan Brown, who scored just 55. Plenty of love for him. But Isaiah Papali'i, if he can keep that form up, might just have the likes of Sean Lane, even Nathan Brown, looking over their shoulders, which would be good for the Eels. And the only other couple I've got down here, plenty will be jumping on David Mead, ex-Titan, 77 points at 203K. I have no idea why I didn't even, I don't think I ever recall mentioning this bloke's name in the off-season. So he's got a starting spot there, played very well for the Broncos. Obviously a few cavalry to return stags and that sort of thing down the line, but it's a fair way away. So 203K could be a very handy downgrade. And like I mentioned at the top, some of these mid-range or higher range priced center wings, one of them was Blake Ferguson, who wasted no time scoring this year. Took him a fair while last season, but dotted down, did the fake tough guy hustle, push and shove at the end of this try as well. But he would have looked good live, mate.
There's always something going on with Fergo, isn't there? Even just watching him when he's on the sidelines or anything like that, it's good entertainment. But 353K could be unders, but I don't know. I'm just seeing Parramatta live, I don't know.
Well, in any case, he looked a lot more involved than his opposite on the field there, Mike Acevo. So, yeah. So if you're going to jump on a Para player, if they have a good run, it might be Blake Ferguson this year. A very surprising result here in the next game. Warriors 19 defeating the Titans 6. Surprising in that I expected a lot more out of the Titans here. So I don't know if you saw this game, but very sloppy, sort of quiet outing in the first half. It took a long time for either of these sides to get on the board here, but it ultimately led to a lot of quiet scores for Supercoach. So of some of the notable players in this game, Torhu Harris played 80 minutes and got 66 points, mix of edge in the middle, just like last year. Fanua Blake, new signing for them, 65 points in 56 with three offloads. So more of the same for him. Those minutes are pretty handy first game back, so he should be building on that. Brimson, AJ, got a very late try assist there to boost him to 64. Like all the, there's a lot of premier fullbacks in the competition there. He's probably scored at the lower end Supercoach wise, so I'd be keeping an eye on him if you're potted up with him. Dave Fifita, do you own this guy?
No, I went Big Tino.
Big Tino. Everyone's sort of tossed up between both of them. Most went Tino. Ended up being Dave Fifita, got the same score as him. Did you watch this game?
I did. Interesting that came out. Fifita was in hospital.
Yes.
Prior to this match. So great effort. 60 in, 70-odd minutes. I don't know. I actually tipped the Warriors in this game just because I think that the Titans still need time to gel and figure it out. And Tino playing bigger minutes and being relied upon. And also Fifita for that matter. Playing big minutes and being the guy, I didn't think it was going to happen straight away. And also Brimson coming off the Liz Frank and things like that. So, yeah, I thought there was too many question marks. But you got to still be positive. I thought there was enough signs there to like Tino and Fifita moving forward anyway. But it just didn't all click and come together in the first round.
No, you make some pretty good points there, mate. The fact that there was a lot going on for the Titans in the lead up to this game, so maybe we are just overshooting expectations to start with, both NRL and Supercoach wise. But Tino, I think did his job anyway. He was quietish, but knocking up 60 points is nothing to sneeze at, as I've said a couple of times. But Dave Fifita, maybe watch over the next couple of weeks if you own him before making any calls, because as you said, in hospital, I think it was at hospital.
Oh, yeah, I think he was on a drip and stuff.
Jesus.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, so horrible way to prepare for the game. So still knocking out 60 is great stuff. Couple others not so good in this one. Brian Kelly, he was one of those guys, if you didn't go cheap in the center wing, maybe you looked at him as a premium option. 47 points and was saved by a late offload line break assist, as he did a lot last year. So thankfully not the worst score from him there, but some others here, CHT, Harris Tavita, and Jamal Fogarty got 40. So for both of them, they had pretty quiet outings. Some people had gone the mid-range option here in the halves, given both we expected to goal kick. CHT's picked up an injury leading into the game, so I think it was quad. So he gave the duties over to Nick Arima. He might get them back from next week. But Jamal Fogarty only kicked the one goal because that's all they scored. But for them, they were quiet. They're still going to warm into their role, I think. But disappointing for any owners of those guys. And finally, Fusa Tua. Jesus, is this guy ever actually going to score consistently, or we've just fallen for one of the great traps?
Option B, mate.
Trap City.
Trap City. Fall
over the line, like just once or twice. This Warriors side looked pretty good this year based off this this game here. So if they can get on a roll, surely at some point, he's not going to do it in runs because he just never does. So hopefully they get the ball out to him at some stage there. Roosters getting the job done comfortably over Manly 46-4 here. Teddy, we've spoken about him at the top. No need to keep going for him. But some other guys that sort of live off his collateral damage there. Brett Morris, 125 points. He was a guy last year that everyone just expected. He's 700 years old and he just keeps churning it out. Like, what's the secret?
I don't know. He's drinking the Benjamin Button Kool-Aid, I think. It's unbelievable.
No, exactly right. And when he was on last year, when the Roosters were on, he inevitably benefited. So, again, a huge price to pay early in the year, but maybe just want a key to some of this this Roosters action here. So I've got Crichton and Teddy as my lone Roosters players, but do you reckon we just start getting as many as we can in there?
Just
or Torques, I should mention. Torquiaho, I've got him as well. But, geez, if you can squeeze some of those guys into your side there, because the Roosters, like, I expected them to start a little slowly. Did you expect 46-4?
I did, but not because of the Roosters, because of Manly.
True.
But one guy that you've got here that I love, but I just can never trust him as a Supercoach option is Tupanua. He kind of goes in and out. He doesn't have that consistency. He did score a try. But, yeah, I don't know. He's probably a guy that you'd – again, it's more rugby league over Supercoach.
It's he's obviously benefiting being in that Boyd Cordner role there, but historically he's just never shown enough of a base output. So he does tend to find the line. Obviously the Roosters, when they rack up these scores, they go down his edge and he'll, like he did on Saturday night, find a way over. But without that try there, he falls back to sort of a 30, mid-30s, mid-40s guy with his base, which isn't awful, but at the end of the day, if you're relying heavily on attacking stats, it becomes a bit stressful. But, he's 400K, so he's not exactly going to break your bank. So again, if he's an avenue into this Rooster side, but didn't show me anything that I didn't expect. So more of the same for him. Doesn't get a lot of work done out there, but will benefit now and again. Somewhat surprising though, TKO's 46 minutes, which did yield 76 points, but boosted by again a junk time line break assist try assist to Crichton. So great value for any owners of both of them there. Obviously with the goal kicking that helps as well, 16 points from goals, but without those try assist, line break assist in the goals, he falls back to 40 points in base. So we talked about a guy like Dave Clemmer at the top there who basically got 80 points just in base, whereas TKO, not a lot of minutes there and, not a lot of work done. But, I mean, to be fair, when it's 46-4, you often don't have the ball. You're watching your team kick goals or, in Teddy's case, miss them horrendously. So, anyway, for TKO, hopefully a boost in those minutes going forward. Nothing really else for Manly there. Their top scorer was Gerbo, 61 from 80 points. Do you feel sorry for him?
Not at all.
Fair enough. Classic Manly. And then some really bad scores. Jason Saab, 11 points. If you did loop Teddy, you were like me and you had to cop this guy's 11 points on your side there. So that's the price of looping. I guess just captain him from the start, idiot. Lachlan Lamb, 26, had one force dropout. So plenty looking at him as that either hooking or 5/8 option there. He's relatively cheap, but 26 points. Everyone else was doing the work, but not him. And Lockie Croker, he couldn't show much for the 80 minutes he played at hooker here. That intrigued a few people there, the allure of an 80-minute hooker. But geez, 31 points. That's horrible levels of base. Anything else in this game, mate?
Not in this game, but Roosters related. Sam Walker looks an absolute superstar playing in reserve grade. And yep. Suwali as well, heavily involved in reserve grade. I don't know what the go is with Suwali in terms of eligibility, but I think Sam Walker will be playing first grade sooner rather than later.
No, great great point indeed. I actually flicked that game on just because there's nothing else on and get some rugby league on the screen. And I kind of wish I didn't because I was watching that game. I did see Suwali pluck a ball out of the air and dot down and Sam Walker doing some good stuff. And then I happened to watch, will not attempt to pronounce his name, sorry, mate, but a Manly player on the fringe there just picked up this horrible wrist injury. I don't know if you saw.
The dislocated elbow.
Oh, was it the elbow? Yes, I turned it on and, it was sickening. The player actually got sent off. So it was while this Manly player was trying to tackle one of the North Sydney guys and they've chicken winged him and dragged him to the ground and he's tried to reach his arm out to prop himself up and it's just gone the wrong way. Horrible stuff there. But, New South Wales Cup, a fair bit of back of action going on there. Zero time I want to spend on this game here, mate. Panthers 24 defeating the Cowboys 0. Watched this live from the Norman, as I said, and tried to hold back a few expletives. Didn't go so well. For the Penrith guys, though, where if you are similar to the Roosters, had a piece of these gentlemen, you were doing pretty well. Nathan Cleary, you don't own him, unfortunately, but 103 points. Raising the bat in a game where I thought he was quite quiet, all things considered, it just shows how good this guy is. And Jerome Luai, 79 points. Interestingly enough, they continue to show that despite one going large, it doesn't mean the other halves partner won't. So they have a pretty good recipe together with these sort of big scores here. So more good signs if you went either or both of them. For the Penrith guys, a fair bit of Supercoach interest in their forwards. So if you look around at some of the minutes, and maybe this is a reflection of the game itself and the fact it was quite a comfortable win in the end for the Pennies, but some interesting minutes across the board here. Capewell, Yeo, and JFH all played over an hour, but some big stints on the sideline for Coruscant. Just 48 minutes on the park, replaced by Tyrone May, and Moses Leota, 34 minutes, replaced by Spencer Leniu. So good news for Supercoaches there. Obviously, Leota's too high priced, but Spencer Leniu, he was sort of bottom dollar front rower there, who a lot of people stuck into their side, ended up with around 40-odd points in those minutes. So it just goes to show the difference in work rate between him and Leniu is, between him and Leota, I should say, is quite high. So more the merrier for Spencer. And Billy Kickow, 43 points, replaced by Liam Martin. Are you ever going to go near Kickow again? He's fallen way off the radar.
No, I mean, I love Kickow as a player, but you just can't trust him at a Supercoach level at all.
No, just no minutes. The coach doesn't seem to want to play him out there. He still has those big involvement plays, still steamrolls the defender, and then we'll just go off the park for 20, 30 minutes at a time. So I can't work him out. He's basically untouchable.
He's an impact player, mate. Impact player.
What they're trying to do with Lolo. Capewell and Yeo, their scores were boosted by tries, but with less tackling to do across a game like this with, I think they had 60-odd percent possession in this game here. There wasn't a lot of base stats going around for some of these guys. Kurt Capewell, I don't think you started with him.
No, I wanted to, and that first try was not great, but so again, someone on the radar should be on everyone's radar.
He's that dual second row center wing, but I thought a little too high priced. And even with the try here, you can't take these stats away from them. But despite the try, still only got around 68. So without it, he falls back a little bit. But I guess it's this Penrith side; they're gonna score tries. Similarly, Brian To'o, he was basically untouchable. 84 points from him, 7 busts, 2 line breaks, and a try. Big winner out of the back line there. Some quiet players in Charlie Staines and Stephen Crichton, but To'o, as people expected, went ballistic. Dylan Edwards, again, fullbacks, what's going on? 96 points. Somewhat of a forgotten man at 600K in that position, but we need like 4 or 5 spots here. And then very briefly on the Cowboys, mate, the fact that Reece Robson was our top scorer of 55 shows exactly where we're kind of at. We've talked a little bit about flopper of the week, Taumalolo there, so I don't want to talk about the boys anymore, mate. Anything you want to say on the Cows?
Morgan needs to get his hands on the ball a bit more. I just don't think Clifford's up to it. And I think they need to get Morgan more on the ball, and hopefully that increases his usage for you, mate. Did you end up keeping him in your side?
Of course I did, mate. 45, though. I can't, it's not the worst from a game that was terrible.
Yeah. So I think he needs to play 7 if he's going to be a long-term asset and not just for Cowboys heavy fans.
Second last game of the round, and one that you had quite a lot of Supercoach players in. Raiders getting the job done over the Tigers here, mate. Similarly, do you want to talk much about the Tigers?
Oh, I think there was a lot from a Supercoach perspective to talk about.
Take me through it.
Little playing 80 minutes, that was huge. The only problem is Dewey comes back next week, so what happens with the whole Laurie and Mbai?
Surely you situation. Shift Mbai to 14. Mbai 14?
Yes. So does that mean Little plays less than 80 next week? Or do they do the Benji Marshall style thing at South that South did on Thursday and play him? So I don't know if that 70 is going, if that 80 minutes is going to be a regular thing for him. Yep. But I think Dane Laurie needs to be in the starting side, and hopefully everyone's jumped on him as a cheapie because I think he's going to see heavy involvement and move up the ranks pretty quickly.
He looked really good. One of your better players there, I thought, despite only getting around 40-odd in Supercoach there. What did you make of Nofaluma? 58 points, got a late try. Didn't seem as heavily involved as he has in the past there. Was he going to warm into it?
Well, he's never been a consistent try scorer. He's always relied upon that base. And then last year, not that it flipped, but he did start scoring a hell of a lot more tries. I mean, are you disappointed with 58? Probably not, but yeah, I don't know. It was noticeable that he wasn't in and around it a lot, particularly coming out of the Tigers' own half. So, yeah, I mean, you've picked him for a reason. He scored a try. You can't really ask for too much more, I suppose.
A couple of other guys of interest here on your side as well. Alex Twell got through an hour playing at lock there, did 12 things, just got 56 points in that time. But some new recruits there who picked up some interest. So firstly, Joe O, 51 in 43 minutes, and James Roberts, 34. I thought Roberts was actually okay. I don't know what you made of him there, but I like the fact he was searching in the middle of the field for the ball. It was good to see rather than just parking himself on the edge there and just being passive. He was actually in and around trying to get some things done. Did you rate him?
Yeah, he had a couple of errors, but they were in the middle of the park looking for the ball. So that was great to see. It just didn't translate into Supercoach, but I think he's reasonably priced if you want to take a stab at him, because he does look like he wants the ball and wants to make those hard runs. So yeah, it could be an option there.
Yeah, attitude was the thing I needed to see fixed, and that definitely looked the case there. So hopefully he can find the line over the next few weeks. On the other flip side, the Raiders, they did quite well in this game after a slow start for them, but plenty of them went big. George Williams, 95, took the goal kicking duties over and laid on three tries. He was a guy a lot sort of pushed to the side when they were looking at CHT or Jamal Fogarty with the goal kicking and all that. But geez, George Williams, if you landed on him, how good a result for you. Joe Tarpany, 86 from just 42 minutes with the try assist, two line breaks assist, six busts and two offloads. So just classic Tarpany stats there. Not a lot of time. I'm not sure what the go was there. 42 minutes is not ideal, but geez, quality over quantity there. And Hudson Young, he paid the full 80 and got 86 points with the try. So he was a relatively mid-range priced kind of guy there. So if you went either Tarpanay or Hudson Young, geez, you've reaped the benefits there. And Jordan Rapiner, he looked back to, I was sort of wondering whether we'd see a return to the Rapiner of old, and I think we might. Last year, you probably write off because he was coming back from that inferior rugby code there and trying to get his body back into shape. But Rapiner there, did he impress you?
He always plays well against the Tigers. No surprise, two tries there. but he played center a lot last year, and yeah. I think now that he's back on the wing, on the right side, an easy warm-up game in round one, I think he could be that sort of mid-range guy that really excels.
Yeah, I was actually tossing up whether to go him as well. It was looking at either him or Fergo in that side there at that sub 400K. Ended up cheaping out and going James Roberts and upgrading Fui Maono to Joe O before the round. So, you know, much of a muchness, but I'm kind of regretting that I didn't have a Jordan Rapiner with that 77 points. I reckon he could be back to some good form here. Couple of bad things to close out on this game here. Obviously, Josh Papali getting sin bin on full time would have been just the icing on the cake that you didn't want or eat. Sorry, Timmy. And then Josh Hodgson, 34 points in 80 minutes. So the big question mark was how he would go in those bigger minutes. We thought, I thought he'd be eased back in. But geez, he's fallen off the radar a lot in Supercoach there. And again, just he doesn't have the attacking involvements that he did when he was once a Supercoach option. So he was very passive out there. Were you did you get close to owning him at all?
I did, but again, coming back from the injury and also no Starling. I can't remember if he's suspended or not. I don't think
he is. Off field stuff. It's off field court case or something.
Yeah. But, I think it was too much to put on him in the first game. And then again, didn't need to do too much towards the back end when the game was sewn up. So it was a good first hit out for him. But I think Canberra are a team that could go down that two-hooker a game plan and have both on at the same time. And I think that's where he's really going to pick it up. So it might sound counterintuitive, but just from the way that the games were played in the first round, I think Josh Hodgson's a guy that could really excel with these new rules. It might just take a bit longer than we think post ACL.
Last game of the round here, mate, and we'll get through it quickly because there was not a lot to love from an NRL or Supercoach perspective here. Not a lot of players in the Dragons, 18-32 lost to the Sharks here, so we'll go through them quickly. Matty Moylan, 56 with a try assist and try contribution. He was pretty handy. He had a couple of early busts as well, I assume. Did you go him?
I did, reluctantly.
But we'll take that 56 and no injury. No
injury. Absolutely. But he got through it. There's another guy as well that got through it. That's a miracle.
Fingers crossed he keeps that up and those hamstrings tighten and don't burst. Fui Maono, 38, he was moved to the edge despite being named lock. He did throw a couple of offloads, but very underworked again. He just has a horrible base game. Got spelled for Merrin early in the game before coming on basically almost immediately for Josh Kerr, who had an HIA. Did play some time through the middle there, but otherwise was just very, very quiet again. Had some expectations for Blake Laurie, who is starting prop again. I thought maybe he'll pick up some slack now that they've lost a couple of cavalry there, Frizzell and the like. But no, 44 points in 45, very, very quiet, poor minutes again. And Jack Bird, another one that got through the game. So 21 points, nothing to write home about for Supercoach. But thankfully enough for him, got through the game unscathed. Anything else, mate?
I mean, that was the Spooner Bowl, wasn't it?
Mate, did you see us play and Manly?
I don't know. And yes, it was wet and all that sort of stuff, but you'd be steering clear of anyone of note these sides. It's going to be a long season for both of them.
Certainly is, mate. And it's been a relatively long pod here, but we've got through it all. Round one, it's where all the magic happens, where Supercoach is back, well and truly. NRL is back as well. How good. Life as we know it has resumed as per normal. Hopefully, with all this COVID stuff floating around, there's very little interruption to the NRL season itself. But like me, I'm sure you're just glad that there's some footy back on the telly.
Absolutely, mate. How good was it to get home from work on a Thursday and watch some rugby league?
Or hang out at the pub for 3 days and have your better half not speaking to you.
Yeah.
that's rugby league.
That's rugby league.
Love it, mate. Anyway, for SC Talk, we'll be back this week with the normal pods. We'll have all the gear up on the site there, so keep an eye out there. Hope all things turn out well for you on Monday lockout there and that you did pretty well here. But Timmy, thank you very much. And quick shout out for the pod.
Yeah, Sporting Woods podcast. We'll be releasing rugby league episodes every Tuesday morning. So we'd love to see everyone there. And the final of simulated online cricket will be Tuesday night. So tune in to Sporting Woods.
Great gear, mate. Love the podcast. Give it a listen, everyone, and give your love to a cowboy man. JT and Timmy here will bid you goodbye until next week. Give your love to a cowboy man.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.